Christ. One choice, two worlds, from Adam's mess to Christ's overshadowing, overflowing grace. So the question, have you ever done something, a bad decision, that affected everybody else? Everybody's day, right? Maybe it was on a family vacation. Trust me, this shortcut will save us time. Maybe then you have to listen to what? Kids whining, death scare, wife mad at you, car slows up, the dog goes up the back of the car, grandma wondering why you're late for dinner. You had that experience. One choice. And the entire family has to suffer all the consequences. The Bible tells us the entire human story hangs on two one-man decisions. One brought disaster to everyone, and the other brings rescue. Far more besides. If you look, you might want to follow. We're going to go through the Romans passage. Move to the back of the bulletin, and you can follow along if you want. Or you can open up your Bible, Romans chapter 5. Because we're going to walk through this chapter. And we're going to see how Adam served as a type pointing to Christ, but Christ is far better than the fulfillment. We're going to laugh at a couple everyday examples, and we'll discover the truth that sets us free, even from judgmental voices to burden us with rules. Now, the problem is that sin and death came from one man. Paul begins with the origin of man's deepest trouble in verse 12. He says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. So that sin entered through the disobedience of Adam, that one man. And since we are sons and daughters of Adam, that sin was passed down to us. Therefore, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are united to Adam by birth. And our text says, even before the law came through Moses, death reigned over humanity. From infants who never personally experienced or sinned like Adam to everyone else, death has a universal grip on us. It is the sin's power over us, and it even leads to deeper individual acts. But it's introduced to us. It's inherited by Adam, our representative head. Now this is introduced to what we call typology in the Bible. Typology is a God-given pattern that God uses in the Bible where earlier people and events shadow what's going to come later. So it's kind of a prophetic tool, right? For example, Noah, the ark, the people being saved through the water, that is a type of baptism, which Paul says, baptism now saves you, is a comparison to the ark. Okay? We have type and antitype. I'll come to the definition of those later on. But the Greek word typos means a pattern, imprint, or a shadow. Okay? From an Old Testament event pointing forward to the New Testament prophetic fulfillment of that. And that's type. So, but let's get a vivid picture of how a bad choice can ruin everything for the group. That is verse 5. Imagine Dad behind the wheel, and GPS says, hey, here's a shortcut. So Dad turns on the shortcut, decides, hey, I'm going to go this way, and he avoids the signs that's warning there, goes there, and he gets stuck in the mud. Right? Now the whole family is stuck. Kids complaining, mom frustrated. One person's quote, brilliant suggestion turns into a disaster, right? And everyone's affected negatively. That's Adam in the garden. One bite of forbidden fruit. One act of rebellion. We all feel this loneliness, this conflict, this mortality. Why? Because we're in Adam. And that's something we might delay, try to delay. We might try to keep death from coming, but death can come to each and every one of us. And there's no doubt about that. But now, Paul contrasts that. Because remember, the type is Adam. Now we have the greater fulfillment of that, because Paul doesn't want to leave us in despair. Five times, five, he says, not like, or how much more, when he compares Adam to Jesus Christ. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more the grace of God by the free gift of that grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. That's verse 15, right? So the gift isn't merely equal to the trespass, but the gift far exceeds the trespass. It's overwhelmingly superior. If Adam's sin brought death to many, how much more, he's saying, does the grace through Jesus Christ overflow to us? Therefore, we are in Christ, and you shouldn't doubt your salvation, because there's always people out there that want to get you to doubt. They want to say, oh, well, the law is equal to Christ, so you have to accept Jesus by faith, but now you better do A, B, or C. And he says, no, the grace is better than the trespass. When you feel like you're not saved, like I've done something wrong, and you feel like maybe God doesn't love you, no, no, no. God's grace far outstrips the law, because the law is what causes you to have those feelings. But not the grace of God. The grace of God chases away all those feelings. One trespass is verse 16. One trespass led to condemnation. The gift, after many trespasses, is justification. Go to court. They're charged with a crime. And the judge says, no, you've been justified. It means you didn't act inappropriate. You don't have a sin, right? Jesus Christ has paid the penalty of your sin. It's paid for. So you're justified in your God. Verse 17. Death reigned through Adam. Now those who receive the abundance of grace, and the free gift, again, free gift of righteousness, reign in life through Christ. So one act of trespass, condemnation for all. One act, righteous obedience by Christ, justification, righteousness. The Adam is that type, that pattern of shadow. Christ is what we call the anti-type. Now, I know what you're thinking, because anti, we think of like antinomian means against the law. Antinomian, or sometimes anti could mean before. Here, there's another context. Anti means something corresponding to. Right? So in other words, a type is something that is a shadow, and it corresponds to something that is far greater. Again, we have the flood. That's the type. The anti-type is baptism. Here we have Adam who brought us into sin. That's the type. It foreshadows what? The coming of the one man, Jesus Christ. So because Adam brought curse and failure, Christ brings you his perfect obedience. Where Adam's act was many doomed in him, so in Christ many have returned to him. So we are all united in faith by Jesus Christ. Adam's one bite turned paradise into a zone of blame, but Christ stepped in. Patty, next. Picture a young guy who goes to the office, and he decides, he's new to the company, decides, gee, and he opens the fridge, the big sign, do not ever, ever take anybody else's lunch. And he opens up, and there's that little piece of pizza there. And it looks like, you know what? It looks like it's abandoned. So he takes it and eats it. What happens? The next day, someone steals his service. The next day, someone steals the chicken he had in there. And then suddenly we have this fight going on with all the members of that company fighting over who steals what. One sneaky act spreads heavy sin throughout the whole team. That happens. One bite, sin spreads. Just broadens all humanity. Jesus is like a co-worker who brings in a couple things of pizza and shares the pizza with everyone. By pure grace, his obedience to his all of us. No strings attached. In typology, Christ as anti-type doesn't fit Adam Smith. It eclipses him. It goes much more. His grace abounds much more. So we have freedom from judgment in Christ that's only work. This overflowing gift of grace is free. Even from people who are trying to judge us in our observances. Colossians 2:16-17 says this. Therefore let no one pass judgment on you in question of food or drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or the Sabbath. These are a shadow. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is Christ. The whole thing of worship is to point to Jesus Christ. When David sings a song, he's pointing to Christ. When Moses gave the law, the whole purpose of the law is to point to Christ. When God told Adam and Eve that the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent, that's pointing to Jesus Christ. That's the shadow of the truth that Jesus Christ has saved us. He's the substance. So don't let anybody condemn you. Because Romans 5 shows Christ's work is so much greater than Adam's failure. That it liberates us from legalistic barriers and burdens. We are not under condemnation. We're reigning in the sovereign. The human story boils down to two representatives. Adam, the type of disobedience, was there for all and brought death to all people. And Christ, the antitype, whose obedience brought us overflowing, unbelievable grace, free gift of life that we receive in Him. Are you still carrying Adam's guilt and death? Or have you received the free gift of righteousness that is in Jesus Christ? Today, trust in Jesus and His perfect obedience for you. As Paul says a few verses later, as sin reigned in death, so also great grace might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. I have a prayer for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbled by the truth of your word. Thank you for showing us the stark reality of our condition in Adam, how one act of disobedience brought sin, condemnation, and death sweeping over every one of us.
We confess that we were born into that broken line, stuck in the mud of our own inability to escape the reign of death. We have felt the weight of it in our lives, our relationships, and our world.
Yet, Lord, we stand in awe of your greater grace in Jesus Christ, our true and perfect antitype. Thank you that where Adam failed, Jesus obeyed perfectly. Where one trespass brought condemnation, one act of righteousness has brought us justification and life, overflowing, abounding, much more life for all who receive your free gift.
Thank you that we can be transferred from the headship of Adam into the headship of Christ, reigning in life through him.
Father, help us today to lay down any lingering trust in our own efforts and simply receive what Christ has accomplished. For those here who have never truly trusted him, stir their hearts right now. Draw them to faith, to repentance, to the joy of knowing their sins are forgiven and they are righteous in your sight because of Jesus.
And for all of us, guard us from the voices that would judge us, burden us, or pull us back under shadows and rules. Remind us that the substance has come, Christ himself, and in him we are free, accepted and reigning in life.
May grace continue to reign through righteousness, leading us to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray all of this in the strong and saving name of Jesus.